think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
And joining us right now is Sean Spicer, the Chief Strategist and Communications Director for the Republican National Committee. Sean, it is an honor to have you out here this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for coming out to Virginia.
I want to start by talking about the trend, because and nationwide we're starting to see, it seems undeniably, a movement toward Trump. And I noticed last night that in the Real Clear Politics electoral map, they moved Pennsylvania, which is, I think, where a lot of the whole race could really... The final outcome could depend on what happens in Pennsylvania. They moved it into toss-up area. What do you read into that?
Well, it's not just Pennsylvania. It's New Hampshire.
Well, I know there are others. I know, but that's a big one.
It's a big one. But again, I think that one of the things that people forget is how to keep this election in perspective. Colorado, Iowa, Florida, Ohio, Virginia, all of these states that Obama won twice, we're now competitive in. New Mexico. There are all of these states that were now within the margin of error. And the reality is that if you do the electoral math, and you do Florida, Ohio, North Carolina, Iowa, you're at 255.
Right.
Right? Then all you need is one of six. Those are pretty good odds. And every one of them is trending in Donald Trump's direction.
All right. So in a close election, and right, it looks like this is going to be a close election, it comes down to that all-important ground game.
That's right.
How good is the Republican ground game?
Well, first, this is a change election more than anything else. People know what they're getting. If you like the way things are going, if you like the past 8 years, if you're ready to maintain the status quo, then you got a candidate in Hillary Clinton. And if you're ready for change, Donald Trump. It's that simple, right? As far as the ground game goes, our ground game this year is better than any political party's, bar none. We hit 3,300,000 voter contact this weekend, far ahead of where we ever were in 2012 or any other election cycle. We have more people on the ground in more states, knocking on doors, getting more data than ever before. And the thing that's interesting is that you can actually test this. Early vote and absentee vote are what you can actually start to tell. It's not just about polls. It's about votes, where people are voting. In every single state that's a battleground state, we are doing better than where we did in 2012, and in almost every case, they're doing worse. And here's the dirty secret that the mainstream media won't tell you. Democrats have to win early vote big. In North Carolina, Barack Obama won the early vote by 300,000 votes, and Mitt Romney went on to win, right? So right now, Democrats have a 200,000 vote lead in North Carolina. And if you listen to the mainstream media, they say, oh, Democrats are way up in North Carolina. What they don't tell you is they're 100,000 votes short of where they were in 2012.
When the Republican won that state.
That's
That's huge. Well, let's bring it back to Virginia here.
Let's bring it back to Virginia.
Because suddenly, you know, the aforementioned Real Clear Politics map shows Virginia now as a toss-up state. And we do these diner tours here because, especially in Virginia, because we want to get take the temperature of the voters.
I thought it was to be close to me.
That too. And to get Brian Wilson some bacon. There's a table over here at the Metro 29 Diner that is full of women who were out on Lee Highway this morning before the sun comes up waving signs for Donald Trump here in Arlington, Virginia. Is there something happening in the Commonwealth, Sean Spicer?
Oh, absolutely. And again, I think you saw it get written off a few weeks ago. It's down to three or so. You've got Charles Hernick. You saw him earlier. He's out there campaigning. Barbara Comstock in the 10th. I mean, Virginia is excited for change.
Yeah.
And I think that you've seen it over the last couple elections. Ken Cuccinelli, Ed Gillespie, and now this year. And I think we're going to bring it over the finish line.
Specific to the Virginia vote, you know, we often hear that it's all going to be decided in Loudoun County, Prince William County. And that's sort of the last several elections. You worked on the Romney campaign campaign as well. And we heard from the one of the advisors in Virginia for the Trump campaign that downstate, where Romney won, sure, and Republicans generally win, downstate, the numbers coming in those districts are something like 50 to 75% higher than what Romney polled. Could that actually make the difference in Virginia?
Yeah, we're seeing about an 8,000 more Republicans have voted early by our model than they did last time. And again, Virginia is not an early state vote. It's an absentee in person,
right.
Which is a distinction in that you have to have an excuse for voting absentee in person in Virginia. And it takes a lot more than just showing up and voting. That's a good sign for us. It shows that there's a lot more enthusiasm and a lot more intensity for the Republican ticket.
On that point, if they're doing well in early voting, isn't it true that Republicans traditionally are people who wait to vote on election day?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a really good sign.
No, that's a great sign. And again, whether you're talking about Virginia, Iowa, North Carolina, Ohio, if you look at the key counties that Obama did really well in, the top four counties in Ohio, their numbers are way down. The key coalitions that Obama did really well with, Hispanics, African Americans, Hillary Clinton is not seeing the turnout that she did in the early vote that showed up for Obama. That is very, very bad news. And the problem is, frankly, it takes journalists time to go through those numbers, and if they're not willing to do that, which a lot of them aren't,
right. You
don't hear that.
Sean Spicer, I've known you for several years now, and you, in my opinion, you have three favorite subjects that you like to talk about. Electoral college politics, like we're talking right now. The New England Patriots, which we are not going to talk about right now.
And, I don't blame you, considering how well we're doing.
And the corruption of the Clinton family, and specifically Hillary Clinton. Can you? I would love to hear you reflect a little bit about what we have learned just in the last 7 days about Hillary Clinton and the entire morass that comes with the Clinton family if they were to occupy the White House.
If you are learning something about the Clintons in the last 7 days, you've been living under a rock. I think the only people who have learned something about the Clintons in the last 7 days have been born in the last 7 days.
Well,
because what you have seen over the last 30 years is a continued pattern of scandal and corruption. So one of the things that I found particularly interesting this past week about this whole new revelation of the FBI and what they did or didn't do is the immediate response was to turn it on Comey.
Yeah.
As if Comey put a secret server in his basement, as if Comey allowed a pervert who was sexting with underage girls to get access to it, as if Comey lied about it twice under oath. I mean, at some point, it's not really Comey's fault.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that is...
You may see a pattern with that.
There's another thing that's driving me crazy about this. Some of the reporting that's been out there from, for example, Brett Baer, who's going to be on the show a little bit later, has been very illuminating. And then you see people in the mainstream media saying, well, that came from a leak. I thought leaks were a fine journalistic tradition.
Yeah, well, it's fun. I got into it a little on the air the other day with a panel with a host.
No,
from
you,
a,
Sean Spicer?
Maybe. That I said, it's amazing how quick you all rush to Hillary Clinton's defense. They always want to be, yeah, but, this is how we found out. The end of the day, none of this happened because it was anyone else's fault but Hillary Clinton's.
Yeah.
She set up the secret server. She signed her name to an OF-109 form that said, I am handing over all relevant information. She said she self-selected the information and gave it back. That was all a lie over and over and over again. And the idea that anybody's surprised at this or would surprise about what the next 4 years would look like is You have seen the trailer to the movie. I can tell you how it ends.
30 seconds left, Sean Spicer. That topic in particular, how does that hurt the Democrats get out the vote on Election Day when people are going to be asked to stand in line for an hour, hour and a half for a woman that has this kind of news cycle burdening
her? I don't think that there is, and you see this in the polls, and now you're seeing it in the early vote and the absentee vote. There's not an intensity. It's one thing to go out and vote. It's another thing to put a yard sign. It's another thing to knock on a door. It's another thing to call a friend or to share something. She lacks the intensity and the enthusiasm that it takes at this point in a close election with this many battleground states. And again, here is the thing that's so fascinating to me about – we have been talking about this momentum. The momentum for Donald Trump started really shifting a couple weeks ago with the Clinton Inc. stories, the Obamacare stories. And then what happened was we started talking about that those states closing, Colorado, Pennsylvania, Michigan. And the liberal elite media said, oh, this is so ridiculous. Yep. Look where Donald Trump is, Wisconsin. And then what happened? The next day, Hillary Clinton not only started going to those states, but Priorities USA and the Clinton campaign went back up on the air in Colorado, Wisconsin, and Michigan.
Yep.
So they're seeing the same data we are. And if you look at where they're putting their money and their time, which are the two most valuable assets in any campaign, it's exactly where we say it is.
All right. Great stuff. We have to leave it right there. But Sean Spicer, it is such a pleasure to have you come by and join us today.
Yes. Thank
you
so much.
The Tom Brady of Republican politics.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.